Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Season 6, Episode 10 of MindClickers, where it's time to click both heads in 2025. Today, I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by the current reigning GeoGuessr America's Major Champion, Radu C. From a random rural pole to pinpointing a dirt road in Kazakhstan in seconds, today's guest is one of the fastest minds in GeoGuessr. A world-class competitor and current number one ranked player, a master at turning pressure into accuracy. This is MindClickers with Radu C. Brother, how are you going?
Doing good. Thank you for having me on.
No, I'm ecstatic. As I was just mentioning to you, we've had Oscar Zigzag on, and we had Bloom, and now I'm keen to sort of get your opinion and take on, I guess, your game and everything, breaking everything down from your perspective, which I'm super excited about, which is going to be awesome. So take me through it, I guess, from the origin. You know, how did you get into GeoGuessr? What was the backstory like for you? And, you know, walk us through the process.
Yeah, so I think my backstory is kind of very similar to a lot of other players, just that I started a lot earlier than others. So I've always been interested in geography, like ever since I was little. And the actual way I got into GeoGuessr was through a GeoWizard video, which I think is probably the most popular way that people have gotten into the game.
Yeah.
Basically I just saw one of his videos and I was like, yeah, this is like right up my alley. Like I should totally try and do this as well. I remember literally after watching that video, I went into a game and like first round was like some middle of the forest Japan, like absolutely no info, and I like struggled on it for like an hour solid. So for everyone out there who thinks like, oh, this guy's a pro, he must just have like some natural talent at it, like everyone like has to start somewhere. I've just been playing for, let's see, since 2017 was when I started playing, so a good 8 years now. And most people here, I guess, call me the veteran, even though I'm only 22 right now, so I've just been playing for ages. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Did you have a much passion for geography growing up, like in high school, stuff like that? Was you super engaged in geography, or was just like, here's a cool sort of, I guess, new game, let's try it out?
Yeah, so in school, in both like middle school and high school here in the US, we have like, there's like a geography B that I like competed in. I won like my school's tournament. And then also there's like a thing called Quiz Bowl, which is basically like a sort of trivia team thing that's like high schools play against each other. And so I also like participate in that. So I just have like a lot of, you know, sort of experience with like geography and sort of competitive side of that, because I am just like a very competitive person in that sense. So I love showing off that geography knowledge.
Heck yeah. No, that's awesome. That's great. Sort of, it's interesting to always see like that pivotal background, I guess, the early stages that allow you to build into, I guess, competition and allow that, I guess, mindset to grow, which is awesome. When was it, I guess for me, when I sort of, it was like the trivial moment when I had my first world championship. It's like, okay, this is a pretty crazy reality now. When was it for you where I was like, okay, this is actually, you know, pretty something serious now, and I want to be, I guess, involved in really hard?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly it was pretty similar. I think the first World Cup that they held in 2023 was really like a big, you know, stepping up sort of the level, and sort of like for me as well, I was like, okay, like this is something that I can actually really take seriously, because up to that point, you know, even though people consider me like one of the best players, it didn't really matter for that much. Like as long as like there wasn't really anything like sort of a real competition, like there's only so much like you can actually like sort of, you know, do with this. So at that point, when I saw that the World Cup was being held, it was actually really kind of a difficult sort of process to get into the World Cup, because it was very like limited. They kind of went off of like invitations for that first World Cup, just to, you know, starting out, it was a little bit harder to get in. And so I was actually like the 20th out of 20 invitees. They had four more like open quali spots that they ultimately ended up having in for like a total of 24 players, but
yeah
I was basically like the last one to get in. And so I'm so glad that I got to have that opportunity. And I honestly think I performed past like what I had expected in that World Cup, because I didn't really come into that thinking, okay, I'm like the top player, I need to win this. There were a lot of other players at that point, and I was kind of like, in the middle of it. And I ended up placing in the semifinals. I lost to Blinky. And yeah, I mean, I'm like, obviously super happy with how I played that, and I think it really just kind of put my name up there, like again, as like one of the top players, and I just, built off of that from there.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think it's fantastic to sort of experience that first big trivial major event that you sort of go through and you sort of understand, hey, this is actually something pretty crazy now. And for you, obviously, I think a big thing for players across so many esports is having expectations and then being able to manage those expectations to a point where you don't put too much pressure on yourself to perform, but you can find that balance whereby, actually this is a bit of pressure I put on myself, which is nice. It's not too much, and it allows me to still be motivated to want to do well, but not have too much expectations if I do bad. So I think finding that curve line, which I think you found, which is to get to the semis, is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I honestly wish I kind of had that still, because now there's definitely a lot more pressure on me. But yeah, it's just something you got to deal with.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's awesome. Where, I guess, reflecting back, has your mindset changed about the game over time, I guess, from your first world to now having done, I think, two worlds, three worlds now?
Yeah, so I'm going to be participating in my third one now, just later this month at the
Yep.
end of August. And it definitely has changed a lot, and I would mostly attribute it just to the scene as a whole, just getting so much better. Like the level of quality, I think, honestly, like maybe any of the players in the World Cup participating this year could be, or like, get to like maybe top four in that first World Cup in 2023, if you ask me. So I just feel like the level has like stepped up so much. All of these players are super good. It's not to a point, you kind of talk about like people's strengths and weaknesses. Like at this point, everyone just has strengths and the weaknesses are super limited. It's just like, it just comes down to like random locations and stuff. Like half the time it's like super close and like it could go either way. So
Yeah.
it's really, really hard to sort of predict anything and just go into it with like a level of confidence that like, oh, I'm gonna win the whole thing. I have that ability.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. What do you think attributes towards, I guess, the competition being so close? Because obviously, in lots of games, I think one of the biggest differentiating factors that Oscar touched on is in GeoGuessr, you can play against anyone globally with, I guess, minimal ping issues, right? Whereas in like Rocket League, we couldn't scrim a team in Europe, or we couldn't scrim a team in North America. So for us, we're kind of limited in our practice. But I guess for you, you can play with anyone. So do you think that ability to sort of play with anyone helps to raise the competition bit by bit by bit until where you are now, where it's pretty close?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think Zigzag touched on this as well a little bit. Like you can just, play with anyone, share what you know with what they know. And this also happens a lot just online in like Discord servers and whatnot. Like people are always willing, or that, yeah, people are generally very willing to share what they know. And honestly, that's kind of a unique thing about the GeoGuessr community, is I feel like it's very open in like the sort of broad meta that people know. Like everyone kind of has like the same knowledge. And so for people like me who are at the like very top, at the like just trying to find any sort of bit of info or meta that like other people just haven't found, or have just haven't looked into that much, it's really just sort of like, just you got to stay just a little bit ahead of everyone else, and you got to stay on top of everything. But I mean, yeah, most people just know like the same things as you, and so it kind of makes for some interesting situations in games where like, both people miss the round, but they tend to go in like the same area even though they both missed it. And so it's like, how did that happen? Well, it turns out like most people just have like a similar way of thinking about things, because of that kind of, common information that everyone knows. So
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I think, yeah, it's kind of crazy that Jigsaw is like factual. So what you see on the screen is what you have to deal with, right? And it's a bit different in comparison to other games. And I think I made the reference towards chess, right? It's factual, it's in front of you. Do you think that, I don't know, it might be, do you think that people have some sort of secret meta, like that they're not really discussing, or everything's sort of been found out by now?
Oh, there definitely is secret meta. I think like the things that people, sort of keep to themselves is usually not something groundbreaking,
Okay.
but still these sort of little tidbits. Like me personally, I definitely have little things that I'm not gonna tell people, oh yeah, I know all about this. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
this is really useful. But yeah, I think just sometimes like people do tend to like to keep to themselves, and honestly, I am kind of guilty of that as well, just because of my position.
For
But
sure.
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting comparison whereby, say, for example, you're just starting to get into it and you're wanting to share lots of information. And then once you get to the top, it's like, okay, I've shared enough information. I've got to make sure that I can still perform and want to be the best as well at the same time.
Yeah.
Love that. Would you say that GIGAS is more of a mental sport or more of like a strategy game? So when it comes down to, I guess, from a mental perspective, having to take in so much information versus actually trying to play it strategically.
Yeah, I think there's definitely elements of both. I mean, at its core, it's obviously a mental game.
Yeah.
It is just you and you're using whatever knowledge you know to try and figure it out. But there is definitely some strategy into it. So one of the biggest things is obviously you're not going to know the exact location, like the 5K, every single time. That's just impossible. And so you do have to play a game of what we call hedging, where basically you try and minimize the amount of points that you are gonna lose on a round. So if you're thinking you have a 50-50 somewhere over here and over there, you're gonna kind of place it somewhere in the middle. Maybe sometimes you even weigh it, like, okay, I kind of think it's more likely to be this one, so I'm going to go a little closer to here, but I'm still hedging a little bit for that other one just in case. So there is definitely that element of strategy. And then moving as well. Moving is like kind of a whole nother thing where, you got the element of like, do I want to put the pressure on? Do I want to take my time and just find more information to try and get even closer? Do I think the opponent is going to know where it is, or are they going to blunder because I put a lot of pressure on them? So there is a lot of that as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm glad you touched on it. I think it's such a really interesting domain, especially you mentioned moving versus no moving, and I know it's quite a bit of a debate at the moment. What's your perspective, I guess? No moving versus no moving. Where does it sort of come down to, and I guess what do you favor more as well?
Yeah, so I see myself as a no move player primarily. I would say like in terms of no move, I am like probably one of, if not the best, like player at that. And so personally for me, I would prefer to just, focus on no move if I could. But obviously with the World Cup being all three game modes, I do have to put a lot of effort into moving, especially because moving is just that game mode that you will play the most. And so I do have to put a lot of time into that. I don't necessarily dislike moving. I just think if I had an option, I would just prioritize no move. But at the end of the day, it just, I play the game that I have to play, in terms, and if I have to win. So, like I am going to practice moving. And honestly, like I don't think I honestly feel like moving is fine. I just feel like I don't want to have to like put time and energy into both types of game modes because they are so different for me. I would rather focus on prioritizing one thing and putting all my energy into that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love that. Completely appreciate that opinion. Do you think that moving, there's obviously quite an element to RNG towards it in terms of which direction you go? You might see different information compared to someone else, whereas in NFPZ, this is the image, deal with it sort of thing. Whereas, in moving, you're going to get different information.
Yeah, It's really weird because that is kind of the mindset that you go into. It's like, oh, you know, this my opponent might just find something that I just haven't found. And that is usually how games go. Like eventually, like it's just something that you did not find. You did not go the right way. You did not, you know, look for the right information on like a trash can or on a signpost or something. And that causes you to lose. But what's kind of interesting as well at the same time is that when you look at the top players like in the World League, you know, players like me, Blinky, and Consus, who are up there at the top, all our best game modes were always moving. So all of us excelled in moving even more so than No Move and NMPZ, which I think maybe goes to show that if you do put time into it, I guess you can be more consistent at it and just like, you know, grind it and get better at it. Whereas like No Move, because everyone else is so good, there is a little bit more of a chance of you just, you know, losing because all the other players are so good at it.
Yeah, I think that really takes into account, I guess, yeah, stepping into the mindset of, you know, becoming a champion, like having understanding and appreciation for both game modes, because reality is that you still have to win games in moving, right? So, for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think that, I guess, at the top, there is a massive difference when it comes towards, I guess, mindset in terms of how you approach games? Say, for example, the pre warm up leading into a game. What does that look like for you? And I guess, does that differentiate between any other pros that you know?
Yeah, I honestly, this is something that I wish I knew more about how other players, like, you know, sort of practice this and, you know, get better at this. And honestly, like something that like maybe a professional would know a little bit better about. But for me personally, I'm someone who just needs a lot of focus and just kind of being in that zone. And so for me, the most important thing is not to, you know, kind of have any other distractions, and also just to make sure that when I am sort of, you know, getting ready, that I am just like in the zone, like I am making the right guesses. So usually I'll do like beforehand, like a little bit of just test gameplay just to see how I'm doing, but not enough to like, you know, sort of wear myself out, because I also feel like because it's such a like mental game, it can be sort of mentally exhausting if you're spending a lot of time on it. And so, yeah, just kind of finding that balance in between like, you know, warming up and sort of just being, you know, at your best in that moment, and not too exhausted is, you know, it can be difficult to find that sort of medium.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very tricky, and it's definitely, I share the same thing with a lot of players that I talk to and coach with and work with across a lot of different games. This, I guess, approach towards individualized warm-ups and I guess having a preset routine that you do on game day that you feel comfortable with, right? And something that might work for someone might not work for someone else. So I think being individualized has that, I guess, crucial key component towards it to allow you to feel that, hey, I'm ready now. I've done the work and you know, once I step into the game, you know, it's game time sort of thing. So, yeah, I think it's important to sort of have that focus and attention towards it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And
Absolutely.
honestly, like there's even some things I've started doing like since like I don't know, maybe like the last World Cup, I've just kind of had like the same music in the background when I'm playing. We usually play with music in the background. And I go for something that's like, you know, not too something that I wouldn't focus on too much, but something that I do know pretty well and sort of can have as good background music. So I don't know, that kind of works for me a little bit to help focus. And I'm sure there's other tactics out there that I would love to sort of figure out more about. But honestly, it's something that I wish I honestly knew more about. And I think something that will probably be, you know, develop more as the game gets bigger.
Yeah, no, I love that. Fantastic. I'm so glad you mentioned music. You know, prior to EWC and a few worlds, a few of my previous players would always listen to music. And then during the game, as much as I didn't like it, because I couldn't really hear each other's comms, they would also listen to music as well because it would elicit that practice response that they had. So yeah, a very valid strategy, which, yeah, I love that you're incorporating that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Another good one, whilst we're on the topic of it, is I guess the topic of visualization and I guess creating vivid visual memories of, I guess, events where potentially, you know, you made a bad guess, but then you go back and you correct that guess and being able to, I guess, have that mind to game parameter where you have that visualization. Is that something you've sort of had before whereby you've had a game, has been the best game, and you sort of think about it, or you'd sort of just go next sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think bad guesses definitely linger on you. But I will say one thing that I think I personally excel at is I feel like I have a pretty good like memory in terms of like both visual and just like sort of being able to visualize the map in my head. And so when I blunder something, it usually means that like I will remember those like things. And so I rarely make the same mistake twice. And if I do make that same mistake, that usually tells me, oh, okay, I need to actually like kind of research this, look into this more, sort of, you know, make like a specific practice map or something like that. And yeah, so I feel like usually I know what I need to work on. Like just based off of just playing games, I can figure that out pretty easily.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's awesome. What does practice look like for you? I guess breaking it down, is it sort of the same thing every day? Is it more of a weekly schedule whereby on Monday I'm going to be doing this, Tuesday I'll do something different? Is it playing as many games as you can versus I'm going to go into mapping and actually go in and look at different maps individually? What does that sort of look like for you?
Yeah, so honestly, I have like no specific schedule.
Yeah.
I think because I don't really want to get burnt out. And up to this point, I really can't say I have gotten burnt out, which is really great. I would say that just, you know, following just my own schedule and just being like, okay, I just want to look at this right now. And then, you know, if I'm not feeling this right now, I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to do something else. And that seems to work for me.
Love that.
And in terms of like what I actually do, most of my learning comes from mapping, which I think is a little different from a lot of other players. So the only games I really do is when I do like head-to-head duels.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely do like, you know, solo games, like solo practice, unless it's like, you know, practicing something really specific, like a specific country or a specific region. But just doing like solo world map games is something I do really rarely. And I just find that just mapping is a lot more useful for me because, like I said before, just being able to visualize like the map and visualize where things are is super important for me, sort of visualizing patterns in terms of like, you know, I will go on the map making app and just tag things and, mm-hmm. you know, with like the different tag colors and stuff, I can just kind of remember those things in my head pretty well. And that works for me. And then, yeah, just doing a lot of mapping. Most, I would say like maybe even like 75% of my time is like spent on mapping, and the rest of it is on like duels mostly. And yeah, when it comes to just you know, practicing head-to-head duels, that's kind of usually I like to play in like the world championship format, just so I can, you know, have that on my mind. I don't really do other sorts of formats. And yeah, I think that really just works for me. It helps me not get burnt out because I'm usually doing what I enjoy doing. I love doing mapping. It's so relaxing, honestly, just like doing it by myself and just like, you know, putting on some music in the background and just kind of looking at things on maps. Like that's kind of my dream, honestly, like cause as a geography nerd. So
yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that's really interesting. You know, a different approach towards just going in and spamming games, right? I think Zigzag said he sits down and he can grind out like 6 hours of games just pumping back to back to back. Whereas, yeah, I guess a little bit more of a different, slow, methodical approach towards learning maps. And I guess getting in there and actually creating different visual recognitions of different patterns, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely like taking a methodical approach. And when I like go into an actual game, I'm usually like very, like sometimes I'll even talk to myself. I'll be like, okay, I see this, this,
yeah,
and
yeah.
this. And so with these things, you know, I'm probably thinking over here, maybe over here. So like I'll go like maybe a little bit more of a hedge in the middle. But yeah, just kind of using everything that I have mapped and taking that into my assessment.
Yeah, into consideration. That's awesome, mate. I love that. I touched on, I think it was memory palaces with the zigzag, and he uses a bit of a different approach towards, I guess, memorization and, I guess, visual acquisition scanning. Is there a pattern that you use in terms of memory, or is it purely just mapping? Is there like something you write down maybe in person, like a journal or something that you have, or is it purely just, everything's on the screen?
Yeah, that's actually interesting that you bring up a journal because I have started doing that recently.
Hey, love that.
Actually doing writing down the things that I learned so I can go back to it and just have it kind of more organized. And so I just have been doing it by day. I'll say like, okay, today is August 11th and I'm going to be I was doing this and here are kind of the key notes that I took from my mapping today. And so it just helps me kind of have it refreshed in my head. And the other part with like memory palaces, I would say I don't really do that, which is kind of interesting. I find that even for things that are kind of more difficult to remember, like for example, telephone numbers, which can be seemingly random, I just find that associating the numbers with a place on the map is honestly the thing that has worked best for me. And maybe sometimes something like color coding based on the number and being like, okay, so this one starts with like a five, and my five for me is yellow. And so I visualize it as yellow on the map. And so I see yellow over there. That's kind of worked for me. And I don't know why. Like things like mnemonics have like never really kind of worked for me. I feel like I just find them time consuming. And also, I don't really see myself like being able to make those connections really easily in terms of like memory palaces and stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's interesting. I love that approach. I think there's sort of weighted differences between both, and I guess when you're, in a grand finals, for example, you want to be able to have the information readily accessible, right? You don't want to have to take time. And I guess in GIS, the time is everything, right? So being able to have that information readily accessible is pretty key.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. Interesting. Do you, in Rocket League and in CS and stuff like that, we do VOD reviews where we go back and we analyze our games and we have a bit of a look over. Have you ever done something like, I guess, screen recording your game and having like a face cam on as well? And I guess recording yourself for a while and then going back and watching it and like analyzing yourself from a different perspective?
So I do sometimes go back and look at games. We have like in GeoGuessr, there's game summaries basically, so you can look back at rounds. I'll usually go through rounds and just go round by round and see, okay, what did I miss? What did my opponent see? That sort of thing. I really haven't taken the approach of like recording myself and seeing. I'm honestly curious, like if like there would be any sort of thing that I could use just from my own like sort of facial expressions or something, but I feel like most of what I do personally is just taking a look at the rounds and going round by round.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you think that's, one of the best approaches you can take, I guess, in terms of analysis and looking back?
For me, it really works because I enjoy mapping. I'll just go into a round, and after a round, I'll copy the link and just paste it into my map, and then maybe I don't know if I feel like that's something that I really need to look at, I'll just start mapping in that entire area, just sort of to get a feel for that area, so I don't miss it again. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, like rounding, yeah, like just round by round, I feel like is just the best way I've been able to do it, and just looking at if my opponent somehow found something else, then taking a little bit of a look at what my opponent is doing, but yeah, it's mostly just being able to see like what I missed.
Yeah, no, for sure. Love that. That's awesome. I think, yeah, that aspect of going back and reviewing games is such a crucial element that you can sort of, a lot of players can overlook, especially in Rocket League. Like going back and looking at different games and sort of seeing what we could have done differently or what we missed is definitely crucial, which is awesome. Do you do it on the flip side in terms of, I guess, coming up to a game? like watching someone else, like watching your opponent and seeing them and how they what they look for and stuff like that?
Yeah, and I would say this primarily is for moving, especially. You want to be able to kind of know what your opponent does in moving. Some people, when they start into a location, they take a little bit of time to kind of look around and, find out like what clues are near them. And then other people, will just prefer, let me just go as far as I can, as fast as I can, to try and find some information that my opponent just can't reach, and just, kind of gain an advantage off of that. And so, kind of seeing what your opponent does is very important in that sense. Sometimes even just being able to look at what your opponent knows. So, for example, you have an India location, your opponent is looking at these signs and he pauses on a sign and starts like reading the Hindi script. You're like, okay, this guy knows how to read Hindi, and he probably learned the districts of like India, or like at least that specific state of India. And you got to keep that in mind. Be like, okay, when I spawn into an India location, like what sort of game plan should I have there, in terms of like, should I put the pressure on because I know I'm at a disadvantage, or should I try and, take my time because I know I probably know more than him at this specific country?
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I think having that insight into what I guess your opponents do and what they know can definitely be a bit of a game changer, especially if that map comes up in the round. That's awesome. It sort of warrants the question in my mind, I guess, in terms of GeoGuessr, I feel like, is it impossible to know absolutely everything, right? Like in terms of every district, every telephone code, every country, in terms of what's in the game. So I guess, where do you spend the most of your time? Is it about some of the countries you're not too familiar with? Is it, where do you, I guess, put that time?
I would say, just kind of the, standard phrase, consistency is key. I feel like just being able to not make major mistakes is the most important thing, because, you can be really good at like a ton of countries, but if you're not consistent enough and you're making a lot of mistakes, then that will be your downfall. And honestly, that was kind of my downfall for a while. I feel like, the thing that was limiting me from being really the top player was the fact that even though I knew so many different things about like different countries, I would still just, make mistakes. And obviously everyone makes mistakes, but there is like a sort of difference in like what the top players do in terms of like they're able to just reason out things more and just, kind of limit those mistakes. Whereas like other players who aren't quite at that level will still kind of, make mistakes from time to time.
Yeah, for sure. What does it look like for you? And I can imagine sometimes it can be pretty tricky, but having a bad guess, we touched on earlier, but having a bad guess, what is the emotion that comes after that? Is it, okay, I'm just going to go into the next round? Does it still linger within the round, or are you able to sort of shut it off and cut it off in the moment there?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I do try and shut it off. I would say sometimes I can be a little bit of an emotional player, and so when a poor sort of round happens, then it can bother me. And it has bothered me in the past. Like I had definitely had like at least one World League game where I sent Brazil on Colombia, or no, I sent Colombia on Brazil, and it was a pretty easy Brazil in hindsight if I just took the time to actually look at the information. And that one stuck with me because I ended up just this was a best of three, and I had made that mistake in the moving. I ended up coming back and winning the no move, but it just kind of lingered in my head, and I felt like I was making sort of these guesses that maybe were like a little bit too risky, or just I kind of wanted to feel like I had to prove myself, and so I ended up losing the third game, then NPZ. And so yeah, I mean, for me, I really have been trying to focus more on just saying, okay, like that, a round is in the past. And that's it. And also for sorts of rounds that are like, they do a lot of damage, but they don't like completely take away your health. So like for example, if you know you had a round where you lost 5,000 HP and now you're on like less than 1,000, sometimes it can be really difficult to try and figure out what the best plan of action is because the other person is so much ahead. You don't you have to figure out if the best action is to, you know, go for your best guess each time or keep making hedges and, you know, take that chance of still losing some more HP. And so that for me is like really tricky in terms of like finding that balance when I go down in points because it can be really difficult to come back from something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Balancing the risk to reward, especially in terms of when you're, under 1,000 points and they've got, 4,000 or whatever, it can be tricky because, you might be one wrong guess away.
Yeah,
It
exactly.
can definitely play in your mind. I guess going off the back of that, if there is something, I guess, say that there was that sort of situation, how valid do you think it is to go the old insta lock and just send it straight away and put a bit of pressure on the other opponent to make them, all right, wheels in your seat now?
I think it is valid. It really just depends on the situation. For example, if I'm playing a best of five and I'm in game one and I go down that much, you know, it's not the end of the world. I might just go for a risk and do that. Actually, in my game in the Americas Regionals in Dallas, I was in the semifinals playing against Fao, a Canadian player, and I was down a lot. I really did not have a good game in my moving game against him. And I was down and it was round 10 and I was like, you know what, just insta send. I probably took like 2 seconds and sent like, and you know, Fao took his time, you know, spent the rest of the 15 seconds, but he actually ended up blundering it. And so I honestly did not expect to win that game. But from there, I just ended up, you know, taking that momentum and I ended up winning the entire match 3-0. So sometimes, you know, something like that can be super big and just completely change the whole game because I think it can weigh in the other person's head just being like, oh, I can't believe I lost that when I was so far ahead of the other opponent. And, you know, it just lingers. So it can actually be a really useful thing there.
Yeah, I think based off that, having momentum is such a massive thing, right? Because you can sort of capitalize and snowball on that, which I think is, yeah, it's definitely really interesting. I think I spoke about it with Zigzag, but we talked about the prevalence of, say, for example, after a game, being able to have like a timeout or something like a chat with like a coach on the side to sort of have that bit of a mental debrief. Do you think that would be valuable? Or do you think it's sort of like, no, it's a 1v1, let's just play just us?
Yeah, I totally think that would be super helpful. And honestly, I wish I had thought of that sooner because I feel like that's something I had never actually considered, just having like a coach there to be able to talk to in the moment. And yeah, I just feel like something like that would really kind of change how a lot of players sort of go into the game. I think we would see a lot more consistency in terms of like, you know, players who feel like they're under the pressure, maybe stepping up a little more. Because right now, I think there are definitely certain players who you can identify as, you know, sort of being more likely to crack under the pressure. And I wonder if like having something like that would actually affect like how a lot of these players do, and maybe even sort of, you know, push some people way above in terms of just gameplay.
No, absolutely. We see it in Rocket League, whereby there was an LA major we went to, and we didn't do too well. We went down to NRG, and we had to play the same day against Fury after that. So I took the boys away. We had a bit of a mental debrief. We closed the door, and I said, "Right, boys, we're not going to open the door until we figure this out." Long story short, we come back and then we sweep Fury. So I guess being able to have that, small, even if it's 5, 10 minutes, mental debrief to really reset the consciousness and regain motivation, I think can be very, very impactful for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Now, take us through the America's major finals. What was your, I guess, feeling going into that? I guess, and ultimately winning it. Take me through that, and I guess what was it for you? How did it feel for you?
Yeah, so coming into it, because I was already the number one seeded player for the Americas, I obviously had a lot of expectations on myself. But really, honestly, for me, I felt a lot more pressure in my first game than in the finals, because I feel like for me, the biggest thing was just to get going and know that I am in the groove and I'm able to play at my best. And I like I said earlier, like in that game against Fao, I kind of started off a little bit, stumbling, and it took me a second to get into that groove. But once I got into the groove, I felt like I was on it, and like nobody was gonna stop me. So like between my semifinal against Fao and the final, which I played against MK, like I was just backstage, just like playing games, just kind of being in the groove and just like feeling like every single guess I was making was like just on it. And then I went into the finals and I just kept that momentum going. And even though like MK was a really good opponent and he took me to game five, like I honestly felt like at almost every point in that game, like I was, on top of it. I knew what I was doing, and I knew like I could see the win in sight,
Yeah, no, I love that. Almost defines, and I think, the way you map that out is entering the flow state, whereby you have that moment of, I guess, mental, I guess, fortitude, whereby everything feels effortless. You don't have to really think twice about things, and it just feels so nice. It feels easy. You have that underlying confidence as well, and that can help guide you towards, I guess, increasing your motivation to want to do better and want to push further, and I guess ultimately, win it all.
Yeah, the confidence is huge. I hope like going into the World Championship now that like I can sort of capitalize on that. But really, that's one of the things that I've been wondering to myself is like, how can I ensure that I have that confidence going in? Like, how can I be sure that in that moment, like I am in that mindset? And so yeah, I'm kind of like playing with that now, just trying to figure out like when I play the best, like what it is that I'm doing that like makes me play better. I think you touched on with Zigzag a little bit, like sleep, for example, and like even like diet. I haven't really touched on diet as at all, but like sleep, for example, I really want to make sure that I am getting that good sleep. Actually, I have a sort of experience with that a little bit. I competed in, yeah, in 2024, I competed in a wild card tournament in Andorra, where I was, yeah, I know it's such a random place, but I loved it, by the way. It was really cool to visit there. Basically, I was the one American player going against seven European players in that wild card tournament. To get a spot to the World Cup, it was only one person. Whoever won that tournament would make it to the World Cup. And as being someone coming in from the US rather than Europe, I felt like I was at a disadvantage because I would feel a little more of that jet lag, and just kind of run on less energy and less sleep. And so as soon as I came and landed down in first of all, I had to take a bus from Barcelona to Andorra because there's no airports in Andorra. So as soon as I got to my hotel in Andorra, I was like, okay, I don't care. I am just taking a nap right now, seeing how much sleep I can get. And yeah, just sort of getting that out of the way first before I hang out with anyone and do anything. Yeah, I mean, I think that was like a really good thing that I did there. It was the fact that I just focus on sleep. Some other players actually went out and like visited some of the mountains that day. And so I feel like, just I took maybe a more boring or more kind of
Fun
cringy sort
approach.
of option. But yeah, I mean, I came there to win and I ended up winning that thing. So
Heck
I
yeah.
think it worked out in the end.
Awesome. No, I love that. That's great. And yeah, sleep is such a big cognitive, I guess, component towards everything that we do, right? Sleep really is hitting that reset button on our brains. It's giving our opportunity to fully turn off and to fully reflush. So good on you for recognizing that, mate. That's awesome. Do you think that, I think, you know, one of the biggest components towards external performance is when I think of gamers, I think of esports, I think of caffeine. Is that something that you've sort of touched on or even tried before, like caffeine, having a coffee, having an energy drink before a game, to sort of elicit some of those responses that caffeine causes?
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely in the minority here because
Okay.
I am a hater of coffee
Oh, okay.
and like caffeine in general. I mean, I don't do energy drinks, I don't do coffee. I try to stay away from that as much as possible. For me, I don't want to really like test it. I feel like just I feel like I have the focus and the energy just playing normally, and so I don't really want to like, you know, put myself in some sort of situation where I act differently just based off of having more energy or something like that. And so I just stay away from it. But I know there's a lot of other GeoGuessr players who definitely take a lot more caffeine.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, you know, I've had a lot of firsthand experience with caffeine with a lot of my players over the years doing some protocols with them. And it's interesting, some players elicit, you know, proper responses whereby it actually translates to in-game performance, whereas some players are just sitting there, they're a little bit shaky. And obviously in GeoGuessr, you don't want to be sitting there shaking your mouse every 2 seconds and, you know, all of a sudden you've guessed Brazil when it's, you know, Australia. So you know, having a caffeine that you don't really need is, yeah, no point.
Yeah, I have no idea what it would do to me, honestly. And I'm fine keeping it that way. I'm not too curious about it.
Love that for sure. Is exercise a component that you sort of incorporate, like daily walks, anything like that, to sort of help, I guess, reset the body in that way?
I do think that sometimes I do feel a little bit of like mental exhaustion, and taking a walk is actually something that really helps, or just like being outside, can definitely just help. And taking your eyes away from a screen, because it can just like, focusing on a screen can be like definitely exhausting for me. And so yeah, sometimes I do just, spend some time outside, when I feel like I've put too much, time or energy, and it's straining my eyes or just straining my brain even, maybe.
Sure.
But yeah. I definitely think like that's a really useful thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I mean, digital eye strain is such a real thing whereby our ciliary muscles in our eyes just gradually get fatigue and they start to become a bit more red. Sometimes they get itchy. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting component. Do you have any, it leads to an interesting question. Do you have any different monitor settings, like different brightness settings, contrast settings on your monitor whereby you can see things differently?
I don't think so. I think my monitor settings are like just the generic ones. I find that sometimes, so it's interesting when we go and play at these tournaments, and sometimes, they got other games going on there, like CS:GO or other games, where sometimes they do like to change the monitor, like add more contrast or like change the brightness or whatnot. It really messes with us as players, because we're like, oh, these computers, like what's up with the desktop, like why are the colors weird? Because I mean, you're looking at like stuff like plants or I don't know, things that like really are just super color de dependent, and something that changes the colors can really just kind of, mess you up a little bit. Just because like a lot of times it is just having that vibe of like the color or like the sort of appearance of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I see so many CS2 pros like adjust their desk height, adjust their monitor distance. It even happens in Rocket League, right? And I think that's such an external crazy component that a lot of players have. And I guess, yeah, again, a part of their individual pre-game routine, which makes them feel in the flow state. So, an interesting component. Do you have anything that's lucky for you, like what we deem in esports, like having a placebo, like on game day, you want to wear a favorite t-shirt or you want to wear your favorite socks because you won an event previously in them. Anything like that?
I would say the only maybe placebo thing that I could think of is the music. I have a playlist, and I've kind of been using the same playlist just because it works for me. Maybe like it's for an actual reason, because I feel like that music just helps me focus more, but also it could just be a placebo. Like it could just be I could put on any music and just pop off and win the whole tournament. So I don't know, but it works for me.
Yeah, no, awesome. Again, yeah, individual pregame stuff. Just keep it if it works to you. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Love that. Now, where do you think the future of GeoGuessr lays in terms of the landscape? Obviously, in Rocket League, CS2, League of Legends, it's expanding. There's so many more external tournaments that are arising, opportunities for new players to get involved and I guess grow as players, right? Where do you see that within the realm of GeoGuessr?
Yeah, I think the place where GeoGuessr can really capitalize on is team sort of scenarios. So, trying to get more organizations in, and just build teams. And there's like multiple ways that you can actually go about like having a team format. You could have the sort of thing where like you still have one on one like head to head matchups, but you basically pick your player, be like, okay, I want my maybe like you have a player who's really good at a certain region of the world, and you're like, okay, I want him to go against this other guy because like maybe it would like balance the weaknesses or advantages of the other team's player, sort of thing. So, being able to do something like that would be interesting. And then the other option is just team duels, which are an actual thing in the game right now. Basically, you have like 2v2s or 3v3s, basically getting more people on the team to just work together and have like sort of come up with the best guesses there. Honestly, it's kind of interesting for me personally. I would say I'm not a very good team duels player. I would say there are a lot of people who are way better than me at it. I just find that I love playing by myself, having only my own thought process in. And I feel like having someone else can honestly sort of mess up my thinking, and just kind of make me second guess myself, or I want to go with only my idea and like their idea. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that, but I don't want to like be like, no, your idea is terrible. Like, why are you sending there? You need to go like closer to V. So I don't know. I feel like personally, I'm not that good at team duels, but I would totally love like the first idea where it's like, you have a team and you have like head on head matchups. And I've like talked to Bloom, for example, about that before, and he was like, yeah, that's actually like a really cool idea. And so I would love for like, someone to like kind of pitch that idea and just maybe the GeoGuessr devs would actually find it interesting and like actually do like a tournament where they try that idea.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be really interesting if that sort of gets implemented in, especially in terms of a team's focus. Where do you stand? What if there was, I think I spoke about with Bloom as well, like a pick ban. So you go into it and you could ban a specific map or not a map, you could ban a specific country. And that way you could eliminate, say for example, someone's really good at Japan. All right, Japan's out the order.
I think that could be really interesting. I feel like I'm not against it. I just feel like I love the fact that GeoGuessr is just like such a world game, and I feel like if you were to pick ban a specific country, it would kind of like take away a little bit of like the sort of energy of the game. Because sometimes even something like you're banning a country, it can even affect things like a guess where you're not entirely sure. You think it's another country, but you might have that lingering idea. It's like, oh, I'm like 90% sure it's Thailand, but it could be Indonesia. And if you banned Indonesia, then you just know it's Thailand, sort of thing. And so there are a lot of other things that could sway like how the game goes just because of banning one specific country. I mean, yeah, I think pick banning like or doing like the thing where like picking moving or no move or NPC, I think that could be a really good thing, and I'm like totally for that. But the countries could be something to like play with and see like what actually is like the best sort of strategy for that if any.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you think that, I think I spoke about this with Zag as well, is when I went to Saudi for the first time, we had a crew battles format whereby we first played 3v3 and then the loser got to choose 1v1 or 2v2. I guess in this instinct, you both play moving and then the losing player could then choose NPZ. Do you think that could be interesting, or NPZ's reserved for that game 5 matchup?
No, I really don't like the fact that right now NPZ is kind of used as a tiebreaker.
Okay.
I would like to add that just the main thing that makes it a tiebreaker right now is the fact that a lot of times the locations are so RNG, so they'll purposely use sort of locations that are extremely difficult, like borderline impossible, or baity, as we call it. It's just like locations that are meant to trick you. And so they love doing that, especially in that NPZ format. And, I would just like to see them kind of, taking NPZ as more of like a normal game mode where basically, there's a lot of people who are really good at it and really consistent at it. And, the best NPZ players will eventually win an NPZ game if you're playing on a normal map, because they are just really consistent and really good at it. You don't need like some really, insanely difficult locations to like sort of trick people and make people send wrong continent. I know it's entertaining, and obviously they love that. That's why they, they call it like a penalty shootout, basically. For us as players, personally, I would love to just see NPZ be more of like a normal game mode, put it in the middle. It doesn't need to be all the way at the end.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's really interesting. It's a persisting thing that happens in a lot of esports, whereby I guess the devs have a bit of an approach towards, do we cater towards the audience or do we cater towards the pro players, right? Which I think is interesting.
Yeah. A lot of it comes down to mapping, I would say, the maps that they use, and just the locations that they pick. So, that for me personally, that was like my biggest qualm with like the last World Cup was the locations picked. I feel like as I have, played more and had more experience with their sort of maps, in the World League and in the regionals, I feel like I've gotten a little bit better at like just anticipating those sorts of locations and just kind of not letting it mess with me, and just having more confidence, but it can still kind of throw you off.
For sure. Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, sort of having something and then all of a sudden, what am I looking at, So absolutely, for sure. Now we've got, I guess before we jump into some rapid fire questions, where do you think orgs play a place or potentially can play a place in GSR in terms of being signed to an org and being represented by an org? I guess even in terms of longevity from an individual pro perspective and having like an external salary to help, I guess, support you.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the number one thing. There are very few players in GSR right now that only do GSR as a full-time job.
Yeah.
And so being able to actually, have that time and being able to just focus on this would go a long way in just improving the game as a whole and improving the, player base. And I think also orgs could, play a big role in just sort of having that aspect of knowing someone else is there to back you, and whether it be, getting in a coach or like someone to like help you sort of mentally like work on your game. I feel like that could definitely be a really important thing that they could help with as well.
Absolutely, completely agree. We see it in so many esports, the prevalence of, I guess, having that a little bit of extra support, a little bit of extra backing can definitely go a long way, especially for players willing to dedicate so much of their time towards the game and wanting to be better, for sure.
Yeah, because like for example, me personally right now, it's just myself. Like I don't have anyone else that I'm like necessarily working with one-on-one to say, okay, what can I do to be better at it. I'm just doing that by myself right now, and so I'm grateful that I do have the time and the energy to be able to do that, but I would love to be able to be able to have some other opinions or just another sort of word on like what I'm doing.
Absolutely, for sure, for sure. Now, I guess let's go into some rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Yep, totally.
Epic. So first thing that comes to mind, so we'll go through some rapid fires, then we've got a couple of Reddit questions and then some final advice. All right, ready to rumble. So, favorite country you visited?
All right, favorite country I've visited? I would probably say I really enjoyed when I did a trip to Slovenia and Croatia. Both of those like really impressed me. And so I would probably say those two.
Love that. Awesome. Dream country you haven't been to yet?
100% has to be Peru and just all of
Oh.
South America in general. Yeah, I haven't been to South America and I'd love to, if I could, like my goal would be to just like be able to, take like a year and just do like all of South America, basically spend a ton of time there.
Sure.
Obviously I would have to get better at like my Spanish and whatnot, but just that would be like a dream sort of scenario, just being in the mountains of Peru.
Yeah,
That'd be crazy.
awesome. One of my best mates actually just got back from doing a South American trip, like a massive one. He did Brazil, he did Bolivia, Colombia, Peru, Chile.
Wow. I mean, yeah, he really did everything there.
He definitely loved
So,
it.
yeah.
Definitely, yeah, apparently a place to be for sure. I guess on the topic of that, how many languages have you learnt that have helped you with GSR?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting question. So, I mean, fluent. I actually know both English and Romanian because I have Romanian heritage. And then I also learned German in school, so I know German very well. As far as they help in GeoGuessr, not too much. I mean, obviously, when you get one of those countries, it can help. But what's actually more helpful is being just sort of at a level where you can be somewhat like you can somewhat understand what's going on in each country. So like being able to just know what you need to look for on a sign based off of like the language. And that can really differ from country to country. Sometimes obviously you need to learn scripts for it. So I've learned a ton of scripts like Thai, Korean, Hindi, that sort of thing. And yeah, just being able to sort of know what sort of things countries write and provide information is really important.
Yeah, I no, love that. Awesome. One thing that just came to mind, actually, I believe there's in Indonesia, like there's so many different districts or regions, or I think they're called Kabu something, Kabupaten.
Kabupaten, yeah.
Yeah, have you learned all of those?
Yeah, I mean that I honestly like that's the one of the things that like I think it's funny because it's like such a difficult thing, and everyone talks about, oh my God, learning Kabupaten is so hard.
Yeah.
But the pro players, like that's kind of like a base sort of thing. Like
Really?
every player who's in the World League, like I would assume, like I won't say every, but I would say like the majority of the players who are playing in the World Championship do know their Kabupaten. But yeah, those are really useful. And in Indonesia, just knowing a lot of like the terminology they use for like river and mountain and stuff like that is also really useful.
Yeah. Do you go back and review that over time, or is it just sort of like a one and done? I sort of know it now.
I would say Indonesia is one of those countries where like I feel like the names, at least for like someone who doesn't come from like a background of knowing anything about Indonesia, the names can sometimes sound really similar. And so they are this type of locations where like you do need to like go back and review the names because sometimes they just sound similar and it's like on the other side of the country. And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I mixed those two up. So yeah, you do need to review them sometimes.
Okay, cool. Interesting. I think that was actually one of the Reddit questions, so we've ticked that one off as well. Most beautiful landscape you've seen in person?
Maybe the Alps. I went to the Dolomites and there's this place called Passo Giao. It's like a mountain pass. And I went there at sunset, and it was like the most glorious thing I've ever seen. And I also really love Yosemite. I've been there a few times, and the landscape there is just insane.
Damn, yeah, I can imagine. I think for me, it definitely have to be somewhere in Japan. I've been to Japan like 6 times, and I did in high school, I did like a transfer when I went and studied in Japan for like 4 or 5 months. And it was really rural down south Japan, so it was really like nice, lots of mountains, rivers, yeah, just beautiful time. So probably that for me
Yeah, that's awesome.
for
I haven't
sure.
made it to Japan, so would love
Really?
to make it there.
Oh,
Yeah.
I feel like that's got to be on the list.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe if they send me out there for GeoGuessr, that would be great.
Have you been to, or maybe even not, but like China? China's an interesting one as well, I think.
No, I haven't been to Asia at all, actually,
Really?
unfortunately.
Oh,
Yeah, no Asia, no Australia, so definitely want to get there at
heck
some
yeah.
point.
Put it on the list, mate. Wow.
Yep.
One food you could eat every day and not get sick of?
Food, you said?
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I really don't know. I guess probably just like sandwiches. I guess sandwiches are a go-to, or like
Yeah.
bagels. I really don't have like a. I'm the type of person who doesn't even really have like a go-to snack. Like I just go
Whatever it
for
is.
whatever. Like I'll mix it up. So yeah, that's a tough one.
Perfect. Have you tried any strange foods in different countries you've been to?
Yeah, actually, I went to France this summer, and I tried some escargot there, which is like
Yeah.
snail, if you know.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was like any other seafood. Like if you try like clams or stuff like that, it tastes really similar. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Interesting. I went to, I think it was when I went to Sweden. I had the super super salty licorice, and that was a bit too much for me.
Yeah, I've been to Sweden twice for the World Cup, but I never tried that actually.
Okay, yeah, definitely wanted to do this
Yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Favorite non-GeoGuessr game to sort of unwind with and relax?
It's kind of funny. I really don't play too many other games. I would say the main one is Minecraft.
Okay.
So that one is good for relaxing, especially I'm more of a guy who likes to build in creative, just like, build things. Sometimes I'll build like stuff off of like somewhere in the world and just like reproduce it in Minecraft. So
Yeah.
that's kind of relaxing for me.
Ah, W, that's awesome. Again, something like, yeah, I do guess of Minecraft, I can definitely see the connection for sure.
Yeah.
If you weren't a GeoGuessr pro, what was it, would there be a game that you want to be a pro in if it couldn't be Minecraft?
I feel like so. I said I never really play games that much. I've always found CS:GO to actually be really interesting and like entertaining. I played it like a little bit with friends in high school mostly. And I really just like the sort of strategy element of it. And so I feel like being a pro in that would be really cool. And obviously it's like a super big game, and so I just feel like it'd be really awesome just having so many people watching.
Yeah, for sure. I think I spoke to Dexter recently, who was a previous pro, currently on the bench, but I think they travel for like 200 plus days a year, just going to different events, going to boot
Wow.
camps, a lot of days a year. Yeah, it's
Hey,
crazy.
honestly, as a GeoGuessr player, I would love to travel that much.
True.
So I would totally take that.
That'd be epic. How much, when you get to a new country, is it, I guess obviously apart from Andorra, the first thing you do is, I guess, go out and see the sights and take in as much information as you can and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm the type of person who loves to plan out trips, and so before I even get to a country, I will literally be on the map maker, just sort of like mapping around and seeing sights and whatnot. So I love to just look ahead of time on Google Street View and see what's around, get an idea of what I need to do, and yeah, and then just, as soon as I get there, like I already know like what I need to see, and I have an
Righto.
idea of everything in my head.
Super smart. Love that. Has there been a place where you've got there and you've been a little bit disappointed, or on the flip side, it's like, wow, I actually didn't expect it to look so nice?
I would say it's usually the fact that it looks more nice in person. Like, things can look really nice on Street View, but when you get there in person, it's just a whole nother thing. Like you just see them and it's like, wow, this is really beautiful. So I've rarely been let down by anything after going there in person.
Okay, love that. Awesome. That's great. Early bird or night owl?
Honestly, I'm like a weird mix. I feel like I stay up pretty late often, but I find myself being more productive if I wake up early in the morning. So it's kind of a thing of like I need to get myself to go to bed because I know it'll help me. But yeah, I don't know if that makes me an early bird or a night owl because I like doing both.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's smart. I like that. Awesome. And then just two more. If you had a map in front of you right now, in GeoGuessr, where would you want to be?
In GeoGuessr, that's a great question, actually. What country would benefit me the most? Probably Bangladesh. I love
Okay.
Bangladesh. Yeah, it's such a random country, and it's actually one of those countries that, like, before I got into it, no one had a clue about it. People were just like sending middle each time and going to the next location. Like, no one cared about Bangladesh and like
Yeah.
region guessing Bangladesh. And for some reason, I was like, yeah, you know what? This country just speaks to me, and I like found a bunch of stuff that like no one else had looked into.
Oh, okay.
And like now I just feel like that's like my most confident country just because I look so much into that country.
Awesome. Have you seen any crazy things on Google Street View? Because there's Reddit that people find crazy things like alien crop circles and crazy different random stuff. Have you found anything that's memorable?
I think my all-time favorite location that I found was, for some reason, I found this beautiful like pasture of like the most insanely purple flowers you've ever seen, like a bright purple, like a neon basically purple. And
Right.
in the middle of the pasture was a llama. Like,
Oh.
and it was, and I should say this was in Australia.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what was happening there. But like that location was just like the most beautiful thing of all time, and for some reason there was a llama in the middle of it, and that was just like that just like made my day, honestly. That location.
Another reason to come visit Australia,
Yeah, exactly. I need to go visit that llama.
eh? Awesome. And then last one, if because all countries in the world aren't in GeoGuessr right now, right? So if there was a country that you had to add, what country would you want to add?
I think Zigzag said this as well. I would love for China, obviously, just because it's so diverse. But I think if I really had to go for something, it would probably be something in the Middle East. So maybe like Iran, I think is really, really beautiful. And also Morocco and like Algeria are really beautiful as well. So one of those countries, because that's an area honestly that's missing a lot of countries in Google Street View. And so if that area had more, I think it would just really be really nice because they're super beautiful areas.
Yeah, love that. Didn't it happen? I can't quite remember how close it was, but the devs added Kazakhstan into GeoGuessr, so then everyone just scrambled to sort of progress, I guess, understand different Kazakhstan info.
Yeah, Kazakhstan was really interesting because no one had actually known that that was going to happen. Usually with Google Street View, you'll see sightings online of like the Google Street View car. It's like, oh, they're driving cars in like for now, for example, now like they're driving in like Bosnia and Georgia. And so we've seen like the Google Street View cars there driving. What was interesting about Kazakhstan was like it literally came out of the blue. Like no one had seen a sighting, and there was nothing online about it. And so it took us by surprise when we saw it. It's like, oh my God, now there's like a massive country because Kazakhstan is really big. And we just like have to learn it all of a sudden. And I think it actually happened maybe like a few weeks before the European regionals last year. And I remember all the Europeans were like, scrambling, like, oh my God, we have to learn this country right now because it's going to be in the regionals.
Yeah, that's crazy. Just a spring, like spring a new meta, spring find, have to find new stuff all of a sudden for the players. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Damn. And are you team NA or team EU?
Team NA, I would say. I feel like I don't know. I actually did play in EU for a bit because I also have like Romanian citizenship. But for me personally, it just makes more sense living in the US to, go to like NA stuff and like do I would rather go to, I know it sounds silly to say I would rather go to Dallas than like Europe because I think most people would say, of course you want to go to Europe. But for me as like a player, I would totally rather go somewhere closer. I feel like I think the competition in Europe is a little bit more difficult right now, actually. So being able to get that first place in Europe is actually a little more difficult than the US at the moment. And so I'm grateful that the US or like NA is lagging behind just a little bit, and that can benefit me.
Yeah, for sure. Epic. I know I said one more, but it's, questions keep popping up. I think
Yeah, no worries.
I spoke to Bloom, and he's like, oh, I don't really look at anywhere in America on Geo. Have you mastered America on GeoGuessr?
Yeah, I think America's like one of the countries that interests me the most. It's really interesting because like outside of GeoGuessr, I am really interested in like architecture, especially like American architecture, because that's what I see around me. And so I feel like I have done a lot of just sort of mapping in the US because it's just an area that I find interesting, which a lot of people might not really think is that interesting. You take a look at like a house in the US and you might think, oh, it's just boring average American house, but I think there's a lot of interesting stuff out there.
When I get onto, I guess when I'm a game, I definitely find it pretty tricky to differentiate. I guess I can sort of guess East Coast versus West Coast. That's pretty clear for me. But definitely when I'm stuck in the middle, it's like, oh God, definitely have to sort of throw a few hedges out there.
Yeah, it can definitely be tricky.
For sure. Awesome. Now before we wrap up, a few last minute Reddit questions came through, which are pretty interesting. Someone's asked, why do you have so much aura?
Well, I appreciate that, obviously. I feel like it's just from playing the game for so long. Like everyone just knows me. It's like, I don't know. I like having the attention, and people knowing about me. I feel like it's good for someone as a top player. So, yeah.
Interesting, love that. I guess sort of pitching off my own unique question here. A lot of pro players in top games look towards like social media and look to like, Reddit or Twitter, and they see negativity after a bad result. Is that something you sort of take on board to sort of, I'm going to be motivated to do better? Do you steer clear from looking at Reddit or Twitter or, whatever it may be?
I really don't use either Reddit or Twitter, probably, yeah, for that and just for negativity in general, because I feel like there's a lot of negativity on those platforms. Yeah, most of what I do, I have a YouTube, which I don't really upload very often, but usually on YouTube you get a lot more, nice comments, people like saying, hey, like really enjoyed this video, love what you do, sort of thing. And so I feel like the types of media that I use generally promotes, better stuff. But like sometimes you do see some negativity, for example, on like Discord or stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's everywhere.
For sure. Sometimes you just got to sort of, choose your areas and sort of, blank out stuff when it comes to you, and which can obviously be pretty tricky sometimes. For sure. Someone said you've been described as a villain before. Where did it come from? And would you describe yourself as a villain or hero?
A villain. That's super interesting because I've also heard people describe me as like a protagonist.
Right.
So I feel like it really just depends on like who you're supporting the most. Because I think maybe, for people who really like Blinky, who won the championship last year, you see me as like a major opponent, and maybe you're like, oh, this guy is threatening. Like he could actually, take the title away from Blinky. And so I guess in that sense I would be a villain. But I think most people who know me know that I'm really not like a ill willing or I'm really, really a nice person to be around.
Yeah,
At least I hope so.
No, I mean, we've had a great episode, so I can definitely commend to that. The
Thank
hero
you.
NA needs is what I sort of deem it.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. Someone asked, what's your main deck in Clash Royale?
That's a great question. And I feel like I feel like people will hate me for saying this, but I don't really play Clash Royale that much anymore. I used to play like back in like 2018, 2019 a lot. But I would always run Expo Cycle, which people usually think is like a really toxic deck. It's really funny, but I don't know. I just love it because I feel like Expo Cycle has so much strategy to it, and I love like strategy.
Yeah,
So,
love it.
yeah.
I didn't play too much of it. I used to play Clash of Clans quite a way, but I didn't get too much into Clash Royale. I definitely felt my tilt infuriating in that game.
Oh yeah,
That's
that
what made me
game,
delete it.
yeah, that game has a lot more tilt energy than like GeoGuessr, for example. So, yeah, definitely know what you
Someone said, will you upload more Geometry Dash videos to
mean. That's another game I used to play like way back in the day.
YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I haven't played that game in years. I think it's, I've just grown out of it, but yeah, I mean, who knows? Who knows one day, maybe. I don't know.
Love that. Awesome. And I think we might have ticked off everything. Someone said, do you still study place names? I think we sort of touched on that throughout the episode though.
Yeah, 100%. It's like one of the main things I do.
Someone said, do you download JSON files and then study those one at a time, especially like when with maps?
That's actually a really good question. I actually don't really. I find that mapping myself helps me a lot more than downloading what other people have mapped. For me, it just helps me retain it and also just get a vibe for it, because if I'm clicking around myself, I see the images, I get the vibe of what I'm looking at, and I make my own sort of conclusions. Like maybe I'll pick out something that someone else didn't pick out, in that location. And so, yeah, I just prefer to do the mapping myself.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sort of create your own sort of understanding of what you see and how you interpret it. Absolutely, for sure. Now, for everyone listening, a lot of people are tuning into the episode, whether on YouTube or over on Spotify, Apple, everywhere you can find a podcast. A lot of young players who, looking towards some of the players at the top. Any advice for some of those players looking to push, looking to become more competitive and be a better player?
Yeah, I would say the main thing is to try and work on like specific things. I think a lot of players get to a point where like, they're decent at the world map and, they still make mistakes, but overall, they get pretty good at getting the country right, and then they kind of reach this sort of block point where the other players are just so much better than them because they're region guessing every country and they can't keep up with that. And so I would say just, taking countries at a time and just like looking into them, mapping those countries or just playing those countries. I think that's really like the main thing you can do. And it takes a lot of time because there's so many countries out there to learn, but eventually, you get to that point where you start getting better at the world overall.
Love that. Awesome. Fantastic advice. And I think a lot of people can definitely take that on and start leveling up their own game in terms of how they want to grow and develop as a player and develop their own, I guess, instincts and intuition towards being a better GeoGuessr player, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, for everyone listening, where can we find you? Where can we reach out and connect with you? Obviously, you have a YouTube channel as well. Where can we find you?
Yeah, so my YouTube is RC Geo, and I don't post on it too often, but usually the videos that I post are bangers, so at least in my personal opinion.
W.
Yeah, so go there for that. And then I do have an Instagram, which is actually not GeoGuessr related necessarily, but I post like travel photography and especially like architecture photography because I'm really interested in that. And that's Radu Goes Places on Instagram. So those are two things you can follow.
Love that. Awesome. What's the favorite photo you've taken?
That's a great question. I honestly, it's, I feel like, because I haven't been doing photography for that long, only a few years, I feel like I'm at a point where I see myself improving a lot. And so recent photos are actually some of my favorites and some of my best photos I've ever taken. And I really love some of the photos I took from a recent New York trip I took last month. I have some like great photos of like the skyscrapers and just, New York is super picturesque. Like it's
For
great for
sure.
taking photos. So
Epic.
yeah, I really love this.
Awesome. Definitely on my bucket list. I haven't been to New York yet. So, yeah, definitely on my bucket list, just like Australia is on yours.
Yep, for sure.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, Radu. Really appreciate coming on and sharing your mindset towards being, you know, at the top of GeoGuessr at the moment. And I guess breaking down everything and understanding your perspective on how you see the game. And I guess outside of the game, individual routines you do, like you mentioned, being in the flow state. And I guess eliciting all of these, I guess, individual components towards being the player that you are today, which a lot of players can definitely take something from. And I really appreciate your insights. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing those to, you know, all the people tuning in.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you bringing me on. It was a pleasure.
Awesome. Take care, mate. I'll see you in the next one.
All right. Thank you.